Well, hi there, folks. Welcome to the program brought to you by Midas Gold Group, MidasGoldGroup.com. Now is the time to put your money into precious metals. I want to talk about Speaker Johnson. Not looking good for this man. What is going on? Is Speaker Johnson compromised? I don't know how else to describe the total disappointment, the total 180 this man has done. So now the question becomes, do we force Speaker Johnson to vacate the chair with this slim one-vote majority, which is brutal when it comes to Republicans? Why do we have a one-vote majority? Kevin McCarthy, Ken Buck, these cut-and-run little whiny witches with a B that leave Republicans hung out to dry. So I understand that Speaker Johnson has a near-impossible job, but there are some simple things that he could be doing that he's not doing that make me want to say this guy has just been, well, a failure to say the least. Here's the reality. I do not think we can force him to step down at this point. I agree with President Trump on this, and I agree with my friend Congressman Tim Burchett, who's a great conservative, also telling me it now is not the time to force Speaker Johnson out, and I will explain why, but what we can do to manage what is clearly now a problem in the speaker's chair. With that, folks, let's get the show started. Again, thanks to Midas Gold Group. They are our sponsors, MidasGoldGroup.com. Let's roll it.
Uncensored and unapologetic, this is Stenchfield. Here's your host, Grant Stenchfield.
All right, folks, it is so great to be along with you today. Don't forget, the website, of course, is GrantStinchfield.com, GrantStinchfield.com. Stinchfield 1776 on all the social media platforms. So I know all of you are probably asking, Speaker Johnson told us he'd give members of Congress 72 hours to read a bill. Failed on that promise. Speaker Johnson says he would not approve any bills to have out-of-control spending unless it came with conditions, specifically on border security. Notice I say border security, not immigration policy. Border security, that's what we're up against right now. Shut the border down. Instead, he's pushing through this Ukraine bill. Next week, $60 billion, I think the number is, more funding to Ukraine. No, we need to secure our own border. What happened to all of that? So we have gotten, since he took over in January, bad budgets. I mean, when you think about Nancy Pelosi spending packages that have already been improved, there's really no debt ceiling in place. So Joe Biden has the ability to spend as much as he wants to spend. As I said, we're on the verge of another Ukraine spending bill. And we gave away all our leverage here. Everything gone. Like, this man doesn't know how to negotiate. Now, I want to say this as well. I believe Speaker Mike Johnson may be a very nice guy. I believe maybe he meant well, but did the deep state get to him? What happened here between December and now, what are we in? Mid-April, that he's 180 from where he was before and turning his back on real conservatives. So this is Johnson talking about where he is right now, the state of affairs as a speaker, and the prospect of having a vacate the chair motion put against him.
So it doesn't serve our interest, I didn't think, to not fund the government and shut it down at this critical time, because imagine a scenario where Border Patrol agents aren't being paid, TSA agents aren't being paid, flights start getting canceled, we're not paying the troops. That would have been a great hindrance to it. And so that wouldn't be helpful, and nor does a motion to vacate help us in that regard either. It would be chaos in the House.
So would it be chaos in the House? Probably. But here's the thing. It would shut the House down for a while. That's not a bad thing. Now, it's taken me a long time, at least a lot of assessment, to come to the conclusion that I don't think we should move to have Speaker Johnson vacate the chair. I was up in the air on this because I'm a principled guy, and if you're not going to do the job that you promised to do, then out you go. Problem is, we have a one-seat majority, and we have a real prospect of possibly getting a Democrat chair if Republicans don't coalesce, and we don't have the ability for Republicans to coalesce right now. We have some real rhino Republicans that are in, quite frankly, blue districts that they won. Districts where Joe Biden won by 15 points. You've got members of Congress in those districts that are Republicans. Lord knows what they would do. They may side with Democrats. They may abstain from voting. They may do something wild that then would put Hakeem Jeffries as Speaker of the House when Republicans have the majority. That would be unacceptable. There's politics involved in it. What does this do to the presidential race? What does it do to the perception of Republicans? All of this is very different, by the way, than shutting down the government. You know, he was talking about shutting down the government there. Who cares? So when you talk about people not getting paid, one, they always get their back pay. Once you come to the agreement, everybody that wasn't paid gets their back pay back. And so I think most Americans would agree shutting down the government is not always a bad thing. And let's face it, most portions of the government that are shut down are non-essential. All the essential portions of government continue to run and operate. And that's the big scam that lawmakers want to push on you, is that somehow the essential portions of government cease to exist. Military still goes to work. Border Patrol still goes to work. Our federal agents still go to work. But you have others that do not in regulatory environments. Good. Shut the regulators down for a little bit. So this is Speaker Johnson talking about what would happen if the motion by Marjorie Taylor Greene was voted on. And remember, Marjorie Taylor Greene did this in a way that it left the option open. If she would have filed the motion to vacate the chair one way, it would have given them 2 days to take this up mandatory in the House. She didn't file it that way. She filed it so she can bring this up at any time. It's basically a shot across the bow, is how I would put it.
Well, listen, if the chair is vacated, it's certainly possible you get a Democrat speaker, because we've already demonstrated, I mean, I think 13 total members ran for speaker before I was elected. It'd be very difficult for anyone to get the votes at this stage, which means that that position would be open for a dangerous, probably potentially long amount of time, which means the Congress is shut down.
Well, again, which is it? Is it the danger that a Democrat takes the seat, or is it the Congress is shut down? Because if the only danger is Congress is shut down, well, then I'm all for it. You know, quite frankly, I don't care if we don't get any legislation out of Congress. I don't know the last thing that good has come out of Congress since the Trump tax cuts. Congress isn't doing their job. Certainly under Joe Biden, that anything comes out of this Congress, if it's by a one vote majority that goes to the Senate, it's not going to pass anyway. Who cares if Congress is shut down? The problem becomes, though, if you have a Democrat speaker and then he starts appointing committee chairs as Democrats and Congress is totally upended. That I would not be for at all. So Marjorie Taylor Greene talked about her motion. Take a listen.
Mike Johnson has completely betrayed our conference, and his leadership cannot be allowed to continue going forward in this manner, because our Republican Speaker of the House is passing major bills without the majority of the majority's support. That our Republican elected Speaker passed the Biden agenda, that he funded the Department of Justice that has 91 federal indictments against President Trump, that he funded the FBI that raided Mar-a-Lago, that he funded Biden's open border, which is the number one issue in America.
Yes. So Speaker Johnson helped fund all those things. And how did he do it? With massive support from Democrats. We, as a Republican conference in control of Congress, should not be passing bills that the majority of Republicans aren't voting for. We should not be passing bills that rely on Democrats to vote for. That's basically doing what? Handing over to the Democrats, their agenda. That's not the speaker we wanted here at all. So I've got some more sound bites from Speaker Johnson, which when I raise the issue of, is he compromised? There's a clip of him talking about what happened when the deep state got a hold of him once he became speaker. This is what concerns me. that is he compromised? Does he just have Potomac fever? Is he falling victim again to the deep state ruling class of career bureaucrats that scare members of Congress into doing whatever they want them to do? I'm going to play that clip in just a moment, folks. But before I do that, I want to tell you about my friends over at Patriot Mobile. Look, here's the bottom line. We see what's going on in the country today. We either have traitors in this country or we have patriots in this country. There's no in between anymore. You support the Democrat Party, you're a traitor. You support us, you're a patriot. Patriot Mobile supports us, much to the fire they come under from the mainstream media. I mean, they come after Patriot Mobile like you would not believe. So here's what I want to tell you. Go to patriotmobile.com/grant. Patriotmobile.com/grant. Use the promo code GRANT for free activation, which is a great savings, okay? 972-PATRIOT is the number. 972-PATRIOT is the number. When you look at the CEO, Glenn Story, and the hit pieces they do on this guy because he is dubbed Patriot Mobile as America's only Christian conservative wireless provider, they're after him. We need to be the ones to stand in the gap and say, no, we support companies like this. So it is about time. Do what I do. Get a Patriot Mobile phone. Use your own phone, the one you got, upgrade to a new one. They do it just like all the other cell phone companies. Same networks, but 100% U.S.-based customer service. PatriotMobile.com/Grant, 972-PATRIOT, 972-PATRIOT. Use that promo code GRANT. Make sure you tell them Grant Stinchfield sent you for that free activation with promo code GRANT. All right, folks. I told you there's a very odd soundbite, troubling, really, from Speaker Mike Johnson. When asked about FISA, FISA is the warrantless surveillance program that 19 Republicans killed a procedural vote for the meantime. This will probably get taken up next week. 19 Republicans kill it. There is no need to have a warrantless surveillance program. You can go to a judge and get a warrant. That simple provision would make it okay for me to renew FISA. Simple, simple stuff. Just get a warrant from a judge. Let a judge review the allegations and see if it's necessary to wiretap, collect data, whatever it may be, especially against American citizens. That was not the case. So he wants to still push this through. Let me play this clip.
I saw all the abuses of the FBI, the terrible abuses over and over and over, the hundreds of thousands of abuses. And then when I became speaker, I went to the SCIF and got the confidential briefing from sort of the other perspective on that to understand the necessity of Section 702 of FISA and how important it is for national security. And it gave me a different perspective. So I encouraged all the members to go to the classified briefing and hear all that and see it so they can evaluate the situation for themselves. And I think some opinions have changed both ways, but that's part of the process. You got to be fully informed.
So he gets in the SCIF and sees the intelligence. You don't think President Trump has seen the intelligence? President Trump was getting all of it as president, and he still wants FISA killed because they spied on the Trump campaign using FISA. Carter Page, I talked to Michael Flynn for a little while, the great general, bold man. He got spied upon with these warrantless surveillance programs, totally abused against conservatives. Now all of a sudden he wants it approved because he got in a skiff and he saw the intelligence? No. Unacceptable. Go get a warrant. If the intelligence is so damning against whoever they're trying to spy on, go get a warrant. The judge is going to sign off on it. Again, President Trump said, hey, don't pass this thing. I trust President Trump. This is Johnson talking about that.
These reforms would actually kill the abuses that allowed President Trump's campaign to be spied on. And there are massive new, for example, criminal and civil penalties for using opposition research or for leaking FISA applications or illegal spying. If an FBI agent or an attorney is involved in something like that, under these reforms and this reform package, they could get 10 years of jail time.
Okay, who's gonna stop them from doing it? Who's gonna catch them? Who's the watchdog? You can't trust the FBI to be the watchdog. A judge should be a watchdog, and the way you have a judge being a watchdog is simply sign off on a warrant. Folks, I can't put this more simply to you. If I'm in Dallas and I'm a detective, and I got a case I'm working on, maybe it's a murder case, maybe it's a drug case, and 3 o'clock in the morning I need a warrant to go search somebody's house, and it's imperative. You don't think a detective in Dallas, Texas, where I'm broadcasting from, can go get a judge to sign off on a warrant in the middle of the night? Of course he can. You don't think the federal government has enough judges to put people on call to sign off on warrants? Open up another court. Just a FISA court with the judges to simply sign off on warrants. They're so afraid of doing that. Why are they so afraid of doing that? They're afraid of it because they want to abuse it. And if you have a judge overseeing it, now you can't abuse it that way. So I know that Speaker Johnson is in a totally tough spot. Sadly, though, he can't keep small promises. The 72-hour read the bills rules, I mean, he can't do that. If he steps down, the media is going to, not steps down, if he's forced to vacate the chair, the media will have a field day with this. Again, Kevin McCarthy and Ken Buck put us in these positions, which is really, in many respects, just a dereliction of patriotism on their part. So you see now, Mike Johnson gets in as speaker and he becomes almost a pawn to the deep state. At least that's what that tells me, which then wonders, do they have something on this guy? I would hope not. Seems like a nice guy. I don't know how else you switch. There's no evidence of that, but it sure seems like all of these things would make you think maybe they got something on this guy. Because remember, I want to play a clip from him, a flashback to Speaker Johnson before he took over and said he's not going to do any foreign aid without securing the border. And now he's doing just the opposite of that.
But much more has to be done, of course, to secure the border. And what the Senate produced this week is silent on that issue. Senator McConnell and I have spoken about this in frank sessions, and let me be clear here again this morning. The Republican-led House will not be jammed or forced into passing a foreign aid bill that was opposed by most Republican senators and does nothing to secure our own border. It's time for Washington to start showing some love to Americans. On Valentine's Day, this is a good day to point this out. You need to listen to the American people and their needs and take action.
All right, so that was this year after he's speaker. Well, what changed between February and April? Because now you're jamming a Ukraine bill down our throats. There's no border security in any of it. And here's the stark reality. I know you all know this because you hear every conservative talk show host talk about this, but I'm going to reiterate it again because it's so important. Listen to me and listen to me really carefully. You don't need congressional money to secure the border. You need a president that is willing to do it, not even through executive action, but literally telling his agencies to enforce the laws that are on the books. Add in executive action like remain in Mexico, putting a pause on asylum claims, speeding up the process of building the wall, starting that wall again. You do all of those things, immigration stuff. You don't need any more money. Money's already been allocated for all of this stuff. In fact, Border Patrol, it's the first time I've ever heard a union say, no, we don't need more money. We don't need more Border Patrol agents. What we need is the ability to do our jobs. So that, unfortunately, is not happening. So you hear him now talk about no Ukraine funding unless there's border security, but he's backtracked on that. Think about the spending. Speaker Johnson helped Joe Biden pass Joe Biden's spending bill, much to the dismay of Republicans, strong Republicans. You had many Republicans vote for this thing. They should be held to account as well. This last bill, spending bill, under the watchful eye of Speaker Mike Johnson, there's no spending caps, which basically gives Joe Biden a blank check in all of this. What a stark change that is from this Mike Johnson when he appeared on Fox Business a while ago. Flashback.
As a general premise, we have to change the way business is done in Washington, and that is we have to keep an eye always on our own financial stability.
Well, they're not doing that at all. So what's happening now? Well, the media is having a field day with all this. The media marches up people like John Bolton, the man who turned his back on President Trump.
If you put staying in the job as your highest priority over principle, you will ultimately be a failure. So I think he needs to get this FISA reform to the floor. He needs to bring the Ukraine aid bill to the floor. And if a political cannibal like Marjorie Taylor Greene brings him down, he'll go down with honor.
So that's John Bolton. He's got his own deep state agenda there. They want FISA so bad, so bad. He calls Marjorie Taylor Greene a cannibal. Now, President Trump had said to Marjorie Taylor Greene, stand down on the motion to vacate. But what I would offer up, what Marjorie Taylor Greene did, is she didn't force the vote on him to vacate. She fired a shot across the bow that says, Speaker Johnson, buck up, smarten up, and we'll let you stay. But you've got to change your ways. Now, when it comes to getting him to change his ways, that is where all of you come in. I want all of you to get in touch with Speaker Johnson's office, call him, tell him it's unacceptable what he's doing. Tell him the Ukraine aid is unacceptable. The FISA without a warrant process is unacceptable. Let your voice be heard to him and your members of Congress as well. That's what I would do anyway. So as you look at all of this and Speaker Johnson's flip-flopping, I could go all the way back to November of 2023, talking about foreign aid, and Speaker Johnson said this. Now, this is in, as I said, this is in November of 2023, before he took over.
So we want to protect our and help and assist our friend Israel, but we have to keep our own house in order as well. And I think people at home, I think the American people understand that. At home, you have to balance your budget. At home, you have to make tough decisions. And Washington should run the same way. And so we are here to change the environment, to change the paradigm, the way Washington thinks. If we continue on the trajectory we're on, it's going to hurt our country terribly.
Oh, it makes me want to cry because everything he said there is what we hoped he would do when he got the gavel. Change the paradigm of Washington. Stop the financial ruin. Secure the border. Use some of these things as leverage. I understand you're going to have to make some compromises. You're going to have to do some things you don't want to do to get a little bit. You got to give a little bit. I get all that. That's negotiation. We didn't get anything. We got nothing. But again, we're back to the stark reality that at this point, what I am recommending Republicans to do is put the pressure on Speaker Johnson to change his ways, and then we will limp into November and January when we get a new Congress and a new president in President Trump. We've got to limp our way in there without too much damage being done coming out of Congress with Speaker Johnson at the helm. Either he changes his ways, he toughens up, we get him a stronger majority, which will give him a little more leeway to do what he needs to do, and he's reelected Speaker, or we take back the House in another large majority with more conservatives and you get a more conservative speaker and you finally do what I've been asking and give Jim Jordan the gavel. But that can't happen till after the next Congress is sworn in. Just can't. All right, folks. Let me tell you about my friends over at Midas Gold Group, and then I'm going to talk to you about Catherine Herridge, this CBS reporter that testified yesterday, I guess it was, on Thursday, that she was targeted, spied upon by the federal government. Now they want to hold her in contempt of court for not giving up her sources. We'll hear from her congressional testimony coming up in just a minute. But before that happens, I want to tell you about my friends over at Midas Gold Group. It is so important, folks, that you think about securing your financial future, and you do that with gold. Why? Gold's an inflation hedge. Why? Gold gives you privacy, safety, security, but specifically privacy. The government can't hit a button and seize your money out of your gun safe or out of a suitcase buried in your backyard. They can't do that, but they can seize your money out of a bank account. So I would say between safety, security, privacy, inflation hedge, a chaos negator, okay? Gold is a physical commodity that stood the test of time. We see all the chaos in the world. Start collecting it. How do you do it? Get in touch with my friends at Midas Gold Group. Veteran owned. I trust these guys. I know these guys. So many of our listeners and viewers use Midas Gold Group, and all with great reviews. MidasGoldGroup.com, MidasGoldGroup.com, 855-322-GOLD, 855-322-GOLD. MidasGoldGroup.com. Get in touch with them today. All right. Catherine Herridge. So I didn't know if she was a legit call balls and strikes reporter or not when she was at CBS News. I didn't have any faith in CBS News. I didn't watch much CBS News. But apparently, as I start to research her case now, she was doing what amounted to negative stories on Barack Obama, and she was getting her hand slapped left and right. She then starts to investigate the Hunter Biden laptop. She's at the forefront of that. She gets her hand slapped left and right on that by CBS News, ultimately getting fired. CBS News comes in and steals, I believe it steals, confiscates her journalistic paperwork, okay? All of her notes, which is really an outrage to any journalist. I used to be an investigative reporter. I worked for NBC. If they would have come into my office and seized all of my notes, that would have been bad. So this is Catherine Herridge talking about what that was like.
Wherever you work, if this happened to you, it's an attack on free press. It's an attack on the First Amendment. It makes it more challenging for reporters to work in the future. That disrupts the free flow of information to the public. When my records were seized, I felt it was a journalistic rape.
Wow. A journalistic rape, she calls it. I mean, those are very, very strong words. She now works at Fox News. To Fox News' credit, Fox News is paying her legal bills as she faces contempt charges for not turning over her confidential sources. So the government wanted to know who her sources were for one of the stories she was working on. They end up, according to the allegations, spying on her, collecting data on her, possibly even wiretapping her phones. All of this outrageous, to say the least.
I think my current situation can help put the importance of the Press Act into context. One of our children recently asked me if I would go to jail, if we would lose our house, and if we would lose our family savings to protect my reporting sources. I wanted to answer that in this United States, where we say we value democracy and the role of a vibrant and free press, that it was impossible, but I could not offer that assurance.
How sad is that? You can't tell your kids, no, mom might go to jail because I was doing my job. I promised a source I'd keep his name confidential. And now the government wants it. I won't give it up. They're going to throw me in the clink. I have some mixed feelings about the Press Act because I don't like creating special classes of people. And I don't think journalists are any more important or should get any more privilege than the everyday person should get. And that coming from me, who used to be an Emmy Award-winning journalist. I have 4 Emmy Awards for my work as an investigative reporter. I use them as paperweights now. I really don't care about those awards. The mainstream media is a joke, and I'm almost ashamed that I ever even worked in it. But it does give me insight into how they operate. So here's the deal. Anybody can be a journalist. And we see this now, the rise of social media, citizen journalists are very real. Apparently they'd be covered under this Press Act, but the problem is who decides? Who decides what's a journalist? Who decides what's not? And so our system right now, the way it's set up is that if there were crimes committed and you have information about a crime being committed, that the government compel you to testify about that crime. That's for anybody. Now, if a reporter knows about a crime being committed, they say it's a confidential source. It's a little different if the confidential source is a whistleblower coming out of government and it's for the greater good of society. But what if their whistleblower happens to be a gang member? Or maybe their whistleblower is someone who was committing the crime, stealing money from inside Washington and doesn't want their name known. I mean, all these things. Does the government have a right to ask you for information? In many respects, they do, which is why I never, ever, ever promised anonymity to a source. Now, if there was a story that I was willing to go to prison for, and I never came across one of those, and think about this. It's not that I never came across important stories. I certainly did. But where you have a confidential source where his information is so important that this is a life or death deal on where the country's headed, I never really had a story like that. When I had confidential sources inside government, government waste, fraud, and abuse, I tell them, listen, I will do my best to keep your name out of it. But if a court compels me to testify, I'm going to have to give your name up because that's what the law calls me to do. And then I would say, then you decide whether or not you want to give me the information or not. And I would leave it in the source's hands. But I was always honest. This is the difference with many reporters today. They don't understand the law. They're not honest with their sources when they tell them they'll keep them confidential, thinking that's just an easy thing. It's a throwaway line. Oh, yeah, yeah, I got your back. I'll keep you confidential. No, you need to know the ramifications of all of this. Now with the Press Act, you've created a special class of people. Reporters get privilege over what they have to tell the government over what regular people do. To me, I have a little bit of a problem like that. I'd like to get more in depth in this Press Act, see how it's written, and then make a more informed decision on it all. Catherine Herridge continued yesterday in front of Congress.
This legislation will provide protections for every working journalist in the United States now and for the next generation. The legislation provides strong protections at the federal level for reporters and their sources. It would block litigants and federal government from prying into a reporter's files, except when there's an imminent threat of violence, including terrorism and in defamation cases. At the state level, similar rules are already in place to protect press freedom. It is my sincere hope that the passage of the Press Act will provide similar protections at the federal level.
Again, it's who decides. The terrorism, I understand it. But then she said defamation in there. Well, you can't prove defamation unless you go through discovery. And so someone could claim defamation. It might not be defamatory, the claim. But in the process of the lawsuit of defamation, now you've got to go get the source. Now the source is out. The person who sued you for defamation loses. The source is uncovered. All these loopholes, again, get back to who decides on all of this. I think law, in many respects, worked properly. We have a few cases like this, and I think the law should already cover stopping the FBI from illegally searching her records. And judges need to be better at stopping the FBI from overstepping their bounds.
Forcing a reporter to disclose confidential sources would have a crippling effect on investigative journalism, because without reliable assurances of confidentiality, sources will not come forward. The First Amendment provides protections for the press because an informed electorate is at the foundation of our democracy.
The First Amendment doesn't provide accommodations for the press. It accommodates everyone. Again, the First Amendment is about free speech, the right to free speech, yes, free press, the right to assemble, but all of this is lumped into one thing. No one gets more of a right than another. And that's my biggest thing. I hate special classes of people being created by government where the rights are not equal to the people anymore. Folks, I'm so grateful that you guys listen to the podcast on a daily basis. We got the Real America's Voice show coming up tonight at 7 p.m. Eastern time. Don't forget about that. Check out my website, grantstinchfield.com. Social media there. I'm always try to be active on all the platforms. Stinchfield1776, Instagram, you know, you got G Stinchfield at Facebook and Twitter, Stinchfield1776, all the outlets, all the typical usual suspects. Find me there. Give me a follow. At the website, I'd appreciate if you sign up for the email list, grantstinchfield.com, grantstinchfield.com. It's the way I communicate, get in touch with everybody in case something was to happen. And we'll send out updates as to some of the content we're doing. I need to do a better job with the email list, but please sign up if you can. And again, the Real America's Voice show tonight, 7 p.m. Eastern time. I will see you there. Stinchfield's Army rolls. Thanks to all of you folks.